generally, you can buy a larger parcel, say, for example, a 100-acre parcel. Mm-hmm. You might be able to buy that in a particular area for, say, $2,000 an acre. But after you split it up into smaller parcels, maybe 20 acres, you'll be able to resell them for twice that, because that's kind of the going rate for that size of a parcel. What you're doing is you're creating a ton of value just by splitting up these properties. Now, in some areas, there's a large discrepancy between price per acre when you've got the larger parcels versus the smaller parcels. Some areas are not so much. Pick your deals accordingly and do those projections and figure out where it makes sense.
Welcome to Turning Profit, a podcast for people that love real estate. Learn the business models and skills that professional real estate investors use to make money and build wealth. Visit turningprofit.com for a wealth of investor resources. And now, here are your hosts, Pete and Heather Reese.
Welcome to the Turning Profit Podcast. Heather, it's so great to be here once again.
Yeah, I think the studio, if you're watching this on YouTube, you can see if you're listening, we finally got the studio. It's getting there.
I think it's getting there, yeah.
It's almost done.
A couple finishing touches. We got this acoustic wall panel in the back, so I'm kind of excited about that. That was a little project I did on my own.
We'll see if it stays up.
It will. It should be good. If it falls over during the filming, then we can always edit that out.
Right. Just you can listen for the sound effects.
Yeah, yeah. Today we've got a really important subject, I think. Mm-hmm. And this is about lot splitting, or minor subdivisions, as they call them. Land splitting, however you want to call it. But we're talking about taking a larger parcel, splitting it up into smaller parcels, and then selling them off individually. Now, Heather, why would we do that? You're supposed to be asking me these things. So,
oh, gosh. Okay.
Why would we do this, Pete? Well, the reason we do it is because generally you can buy a larger parcel, say, for example, a 100-acre parcel. Mm-hmm. You might be able to buy that in a particular area for, say, $2,000 an acre. But after you split it up into smaller parcels, maybe 20 acres, you'll be able to resell them for twice that, because that's kind of the going rate for that size of a parcel. So what you're doing is you're creating a ton of value just by splitting up these properties. Now, in some areas, there's a large discrepancy between price per acre when you've got the larger parcels versus the smaller parcels. Some areas are not so much. So it's important to kind of pick your deals accordingly and kind of do those projections and figure out where it makes sense. Some areas are great for this, some areas are not. We're going to get into all that stuff today. We're going to talk about how you actually do it. We're going to talk about what makes a good lot split type property and everything associated with it. So,
but Pete, anything? What? Questions. So,
yeah,
I
sure.
You
yeah.
just kept going. So, I was going to just.
I know. I ramble on sometimes.
No, you don't. But that's funny. I do. So, what you're saying is, or just to recap, is that's why it's important to have local knowledge.
Oh, yeah. Of
local
course.
Area knowledge, right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this country is so big. Each area has different rules, there's different market conditions in each area. So, it's really important to know the particular area you're working on, and you don't have to have done business in that particular area before. You don't even have to have been there, but you do have to research that area and figure out what the nuances are for that particular
area. Well, the rules there and what needs there. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes it'll be like, oh, I'm going to buy this property and I could split it up into 2-acre parcels or whatever. And that would be like unheard of in that area.
Yeah,
like,
there'd be no buyers.
Yeah. Right, because like I'm not going to have anything less than 10 acres or whatever their thing is, right? Or the opposite way, you do 10 acres and people are like, oh my God. You know, like what? No one
if
here
someone
has
did
10 land.
Acres here, I mean, that would be
crazy.
Yeah, it'd be crazy.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool. But
it would be unheard
they don't
of.
Exist.
No. Okay.
It'd be a whole neighborhood, actually.
Right, right. And I don't even know, like, in this, I guess this is even shows you, though, like, we're in San Diego right now, and this area of San Diego would be unheard of. But then there's other parts of San Diego where it would, that would yeah. be the norm. Yeah. Okay. So, but my other question that popped up was, well, why wouldn't the person that we buy it from just do this themselves? Like, why would they then? Not they're giving up so much profit. Why?
It's not as cut and dry as it seems. Mm-hmm. Something that may seem, you know, doable from our end as an investor may be kind of unfathomable for them to go through that approach. I mean, different people have different, you know, skill sets in their lives, mm-hmm. and splitting up a property and reselling it that way is just some more than some people want to take on, than most people want to take on, really. Not that it's a complicated process or not that it's a time-consuming process in a lot of these areas, but it does take some extra money. You generally have to hire professionals to help you get it done, take some time, and then you've got to go through all those individual transactions when selling off these individual parcels as well. So that seems daunting to some people, mm-hmm. and most people won't go that route. There are some savvy people that will go that route and do that type of thing, but for the most part, you know, there are opportunities out there from people that simply just don't want to get into it.
Right. So. I think it's a really good way to think about it is with all of this is like, well, why wouldn't someone just do that? Well, I don't like making food. So someone might see like me ordering DoorDash and being like, why would anyone do that?
Yeah.
You know, I don't like doing it, or my time is better used doing this, or I want to spend time doing this, whatever. You taking your own values and your own thoughts and stuff into it is really limiting.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I've always found that I had a lot more success in business when I'm trying to view things from the person I'm dealing with from their perspective. Mm-hmm. Like I try to actually get into their shoes and think about, okay, so how does this affect me? And then I try to present my side to them in a way that's palatable and makes sense to them. So.
Right. Yeah, it's just kind of keeping it thinking beyond yourself and your, you know, like I wouldn't do that because it doesn't sound like it would be possible because why wouldn't they just do that? I hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's just not that simple.
You know, you've actually got a lot of experience in real estate and investing and everything like that. If you were to inherit a property, say I wasn't around or something like that, yeah. Would you go through the lots process or would you just sell it off as one piece?
I don't know. That's hard. I mean, we have, I don't know. Right? Like that's mm-hmm. a good question. What I probably would if, mm-hmm. but having said that, now I'm like, let's put that, if you're not around, where are you, by the way? Are you like dead or are you just like left us?
Dead.
Okay, wow. Dead. Going deep there. Okay. So theoretically, then I would have three kids, although two of them are adults, right? And I'd still be running a business and stuff. So I might be like, yeah, these, I'd have to curb these projects, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So, and that's even someone who has experience. I wouldn't say I have tons of real estate. I mean, yes and no.
Yes, you
do. Yes, but I don't do like the, as much as you do with the day-to-day kind of stuff.
You don't get into as much as the nitty-gritty on some of these properties.
No. Mm-hmm. So like if we're looking at it that way, I don't know. It would have to be, you know, or if it would be just too much. And that, and we do run into people like that. And mm-hmm. it's not like you have to do this. They're like, there's no way I'm going to do this.
Right. I mean, the point of the discussion is really there are plenty of opportunities mm-hmm. out there and some might work, some might not, but there are people, don't get hung up on the fact that like, why wouldn't someone do this themselves? Because there's a lot of reasons. All right. So first of all, one thing that I want to talk about is that it's important to identify the areas where there is a large discrepancy between the price per acre on the larger parcels and the smaller parcels. Mm-hmm. This can be done by looking at average price sale prices per acre in a larger acreage range, mm-hmm. and then comparing that to a smaller acreage range. We've got a little ratio that we worked out from our team, and we're actually building some stuff on this right now, but we're taking an average price per acre, and then we're dividing it by the smaller property price per acre, and we're coming up with the ratio, and that ratio will tell us kind of how big of a potential opportunity is in that area. So sometimes you might be able to just buy it retail, split mm-hmm. it up, and then resell it and make the profit margin you need. Sometimes you might still need to get a discount on that property you're buying, discount from what retail is at least, mm-hmm. and then the numbers still might work.
So. Right, to account for, because there are costs associated, which right. we'll get into. And the other thing too that we should point out is like there's housing crisis everywhere.
Yeah.
And if you can turn one property, you know, 100 acres into enough for 50, you know, that's, you've now created house. Well, you're on the way to creating housing for and opportunities because it's a lot easier for a lot of people to get in buying this land and then getting a home built on it as opposed to waiting for a development to come in. And
right. And the reason there is this discrepancy in price per acre in with these larger parcels mm-hmm. is because the buyer pool.
That's very true.
The buyer pool is so much smaller when you've got these larger properties. You know, there might be people interested in that, but it's just not something they're going to do. Like, well, they don't want to spend all of their resources on this huge property when they're not going to really use it.
So. Right. And then you have costs. And we were talking about it like here when you're saying like, oh, a 10, well, that was a good save. Yeah, a 10 acre, like here, I was thinking about the irrigation, the fencing, the insurance, like all these other things. Like it's cost prohibitive beyond just the acquisition of the land. And then the other thing too, you talked about like your buyer pool, it's either going to be someone who just has an exponential amount of money per that area who wants that kind of land. That's just like, I don't, you know, this is my dream property, right? Or they're going to build their whatever, or it's a developer. And so there's a lot of people that are in between that who would benefit from being able to purchase that and who want to.
Right.
But those are just not available.
Yeah. Want to learn the secret to building a thriving land flipping business? Head on over to landconquest.com and join over 2,000 passionate land flippers leveraging the power of community to scale quickly. Sign up for free at landconquest.com. All right, let's get back to the show. So next thing is you've got to find your deals, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we do a lot of finding our deals with direct mail, and we've covered that in many different episodes. So if you want to check back on previous episodes, we go into that in detail on the how we do our direct mail and how we send out our offers and all that kind of stuff. You can also do text message marketing, although that's really declining with all the texting rules that have gone into place over the past year.
I just want to add my input. But it sucks. Go on.
Heather's not a big fan of that method. You can just simply look on the MLS, especially if you're in areas where, you know, you can buy pretty close to retail and still make this thing work. So those are interesting buyers to me because those people already want to sell.
Right.
You know, they're ready to go.
In a different way. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just a matter of the numbers working and the property type working and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So finding your deals, that's a very important part of this.
Right.
You've got to put a system in place to somehow find these deals.
And if you're doing the mail stuff, you're just going to be targeting like this certain sizes.
Yeah.
So you'd be excluding anything, you know, of a lower size.
And we've got a tool now, which gets into the next section, which helps us identify the ideal properties here. So one of the big things is that we are looking for the properties that work the best is if they have a lot of road frontage, meaning that the land, you know, butts up against a main road or a paved road, at least generally is what we look for in some of these rural areas. So it butts up against a paved road, and that's easier to split it up. You know, sometimes these larger properties are accessed through like a dirt road easement or something like that. It's more difficult to split those up. Those aren't good candidates in a lot of areas because they have road requirements and some of these municipalities. And plus, you know, access is one of those things that people like. You know, if you have great access, then it's a more popular property generally.
It's always nice to be able to get onto your property.
Yes, it is a very nice thing.
You know, and then the other thing, too, is the cost of putting in the infrastructure. Did you already say that?
No, but I'm going to get into that soon.
Yeah, so if it's on, but if you're on that road, you already know it's going to be a lot less.
Yeah, and when you're splitting a property up, you know, you'll generally want to divide that road frontage up in a way that, you know, is appealing for each lot owner that gets this smaller lot out of the deal. So road frontage, that's one of the big factors. Mm-hmm. Also topography that will work for multiple potential home sites. So you want to kind of envision it like, hey, if I split this property up into four different parcels, is there a potential home site on each of these properties? You know, there might be rolling topography or could be sloped or something like that. But generally, you want to cut it up in a way that there is actual, you know, a potential home site. Like if someone wanted to build a home there, the topography will allow for it.
So. Right. You don't want three of them on the side of a cliff and one of them with a great pad.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you want to make sure that there is, you know, potential in each of the smaller lots. Value, you know, we're looking to buy at 50% of what we anticipate the resale price would be. That's kind of our rule of thumb. That's our guidelines that we use. Everyone has different criteria. Not everyone, but a lot of people follow this criteria, but there are others that have different parameters. But what we do is trying to buy for 50% of what we think we can resell it for. So it's important to be able to get properties for the prices that we need, or it simply won't work.
We've talked about it before, but it's not necessarily that we think we're going to double our money in that way. It's more as it leaves a buffer in case there's, you know, expenses or issues that we didn't foresee.
And I really don't care, you know, if we could be buying a property on the market and we could be paying retail pricing. Mm-hmm. I really don't care as long as the numbers work out on the resale side with what our plan is.
Right.
So I'd love to get it for cheaper if possible, but if it's a matter of doing the deal or not doing the deal and I have to pay retail pricing, but the numbers work when I split it up, fine by me.
You know, that's like a good thing to go back to is always talk about don't force a deal, but also don't get greedy.
Yeah.
Like lose a deal just because you somehow want to push.
Yeah, you got to get $10,000 off just to make yourself feel better.
Yeah,
or something, you know,
it's like a fool's game, right? Yeah. Isn't that what they say? Something like that, where
a fool's errand.
Fool's errand. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm like gonna phrase the fool's game.
Okay, that's a new phrase, Heather.
It's the devil fool's game. How about that? I'll really not tack it on. But anyways, the point is though that like, yeah, don't get so hung up on like I have to get a lightning deal as. It's an Amazon thing. I'm really struggling today.
An insane deal.
Thank you. A lightning deal. I shop on Amazon too much.
Location. Do people actually want to buy these parcels in this area?
Oh, gosh, yes.
So it's important to know, like, is it an area that people actually want to be?
Yeah, are you going to hold it for 50 years?
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
And hope that your heirs somehow make that money.
Yeah, so don't think because you can buy a property and you can split it up that there's actually going to be demand there. You got to kind of research and make sure things are selling, make sure there isn't just this huge glut of inventory on the market. So these are all kind of important things for any real estate investment, but that you're going to resell quickly. But for these types of properties, it's important because you're going to have, you know, it could be three properties from one property that you buy, or it could be 10 properties that you're going to be reselling. So you need to have a buyer pool there or it's simply not going to make any sense for you to go through all this hassle. So utility availability. Mm-hmm. This is important in some areas. Some areas it really doesn't make much of a difference. But in many areas, you're going to have electrical lines pretty close, like power lines. That's pretty much a given. There are some super remote areas that don't have it, but I would at least try to make sure there's power near there. A lot of areas have well further water source, but if you're in the Southwest or something like that where water availability is a problem, you're going to want to consider that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, so it really depends on the area. So if there's no utility availability, and you know, for instance, water is a problem in a particular area, and there's no access to public water, then you may want to reconsider splitting this up, because anyone that's going to do a potential home site there would have an issue with water.
Yeah, we talked about it up around here. There's an area where you can buy land, but you have to be on a wait list for water, and there's no real wells. So it sounds great. Like, okay, great. You could buy your dream property, but if you can't tap into the water source, that's, you know,
you're going to have water delivered.
I have never seen anyone do that, but I'm sure they do it.
Yeah, they do it up in Temecula Wine Country, actually.
Do they really?
Yeah. Some of those homes, they don't have, you know, municipal water service.
They just have the big
tanks. Yeah, and, you know, I heard it's not that expensive, but it would be a pain. I mean, let's be honest, it would be a pain. You got to worry about water deliveries. I mean, uh-huh. They put it into a big tank, and then that serves your house and everything. But
that's going to deter a lot of people.
Yeah, you're going to have a tough time selling that property.
Because then
you're
going to have a
huge standard for an area.
That's exactly it. And that's why, again, you have to know the local area. And, you know, and a good agent around there will know. Oh, yeah, everyone does that or whatever.
Talk to a great land specialist agent. And, you know, you might want to ask some of these questions and ask them if it's a good candidate for these reasons. And they might be able to uncover some of these things you didn't even think about. Next step, get it under contract. So that would be, you know, if you're doing direct marketing to landowners, you go through your process of getting it under contract. If it's a property on the market, you work with an agent to write an offer, get that offer accepted, you know, negotiate a deal and get it under contract. So when you get it under contract, next step would be kind of the lining up the funding side of things. Either you are going to be using your own cash for the deal, or if you're going to be using a deal partner. And if you are using a deal partner, we've got a program called Partner with Pete, and you can find it at partnerwithpete.com. And essentially what we do is that we will partner with you on your deal, meaning that we will fund the deal, send our money to close on the transaction. And not just that, we differ ourselves from other land funders that may be out there. We actually take care of all the rest of the processes in a complete land investment. And we're talking about lot splits. There's a lot more that goes into it as well. So we've got all the due diligence we pay for. My team researches these properties. We, you know, work with title to get the transaction closed. Then after it's closed, we work with the value add to get the property split up. Any sort of brush clearing, things like that are needed, we pay for all that. We also get the properties marketed with top real estate agents in the area, negotiate the deals, get the transactions closed. And when it's all said and done, then we split the profits 50-50. If it's just a regular lot split on these, I mean, if it's just a regular, you know, land flip type transaction, is 50-50. On these lot splits, we do take a slightly larger distribution of the profits just because there's a lot more that goes into it. So we're generally doing 60-40 on these. So 60% to us, 40% to the investor partner. But the great thing is that we handle all of that process, and you don't have to worry about it except finding the deal. That's the part that's you know, that you bring to the table, and then you just get the distributions at the end. There's no downside to you as an investor either, because if we were to lose money on the deal, it's not like we're coming after you for any sort of that downside, only upside. So I think it's a pretty unique program, and, you know, I don't even know if you know this, but we've had the program going for about almost a year now, or about a year, and we have paid out almost $1 million to our partners so far.
Really?
Just in the past year.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And it takes a while to get it up and going. When we first started getting it up and going, you know, these transactions just start getting in the pipeline, and then we start marketing them and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's only going to accelerate from here. So that's a lot of money.
My gosh, that really is.
Yeah.
Huh. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing.
Okay. So next step in the process, you know, would be especially if you're not doing it through the Partner with Pete program, you'd want to contact a surveyor or any other needed professionals to show them the project, tell them what you're doing, and get bids for that. So, you know, we're always, when we're doing these lot split type deals, you know, surveyor is one of our first phone calls that we make. they know the local regulations. They know the people at the county offices, everything like that. So they, you know, we tell them, hey, we got this property over here. We're going to split it up into five parcels. First of all, is this doable? And then second of all, what would be your price to do that? What would your timeline be? And so on. So a surveyor is generally a big part of this. And we're generally doing these minor subdivision lot splits in areas where it's a simple process. We avoid the areas where it's a lot of hoops to jump through, meaning we don't want to go to city council meetings. We don't want to have multiple layers of approval needed by a city council or planner or anything like that. Like, we look for the simple areas where it's simply a matter of hiring a surveyor. Hmm. The surveyor will do all the stuff that's needed to be done. They will record the maps, and then we can resell the parcels individually.
So you're looking for places where the rules are already defined. There's already like a process that doesn't involve like an individual getting to make a decision that could derail everything.
Yeah, I don't like having our fate tied up into someone else's hands. I like it where it's a defined process, like, hey, you do these steps. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Like, you can do that. Right. These are the rules. As long as you follow the rules, you're good. Mm-hmm. I don't like stuff where there's a layers of approval, like, hey, you submit your map, we'll review it, and, you know, we'll see if we can approve it or not. And those can be a problem. Everything might go great, mm-hmm. but then it could be a situation where you get stuck and you bought a property for paying too much for it, where you're not going to be able to do your exit plan like this, your value add. And it's just not a desirable situation. So we really try to avoid those type of areas.
Yeah, the problem lies where is you can follow every single rule. They'll say, this is what it takes to be able to do this. You've got to do all these things. You do all of it. But then it's like someone can interpret, well, is this the community character we're looking for right now? 5 years ago, yes, maybe. 10 years from now, maybe. But right this second, do we want to do it? And it literally goes to a vote to people who are just, you know, some like progress, some don't like progress. It's very odd.
Yeah.
And then they'll be like, we really have no housing. We need housing. And then they'll be like, but we're not approving any housing. And you're like, I know.
I told this story before, but I'll tell it briefly again. And this is kind of why I have this philosophy.
This one still pisses me off. I think I know which one it is.
This is a situation where I bought a property and I knew I needed to change the zoning. So I knew that I was going to change the zoning. And then if I changed the zoning, it would be worth a lot more. Mm-hmm. I felt, you know, from the people I talked to, I felt like it was going to be a very easy process, simply a matter of filling out a form and then getting signed off by this local little council. So I went through the process. I had my address. This is a property in North Carolina. My address was in California. That was a big mistake. I should have just hired someone locally to do that. What I think happened is they saw my California information. They're like, this guy from California is trying to ruin our community. And, you know, I don't know. I was just trying to change a commercial property to a residential, and it
in
made
a
sense.
Residential area.
It made complete sense.
It shouldn't have been commercial, so
right. It made complete sense, but they declined it. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, now what am I going to do? So I put it on the market, and then I was like, okay, I just need to get out of it. You know, for what I paid for it, I wasn't going to make
the
any
part
money.
I hate the most.
Yes, and then got an offer and found out the offer was from one of the people on the council that declined it. And I told Heather that, and Heather's like, don't sell it to them. She was very spiteful about it.
Heather was ready to like, okay, you want commercial? Yeah. What? I can be a hog farmer. What kind of, or not, what wouldn't have been, but I was willing to invest a lot in that community in a commercial operation.
Yeah. Boost your land flipping earnings with our new Land Conquest business system. It's designed for efficiency and effectiveness. This cutting-edge software tool is your key to success in the land flipping industry. Streamline and automate your operations to scale your business to new heights. With our system, you get a customizable website with 6 professional templates to choose from, up to 5 dedicated phone numbers, each with their own chosen area codes for creating a trustworthy local presence. And as a bonus, you'll get a $25 credit for SMS and email sends. You'll also get access to our tech team to build any automations or customizations that you want. And not to mention, we've got a great dedicated community to the Land Conquest business system to help us all thrive together. And with every step of the way, you get our 24/7 live chat support. But that's not all. You'll also gain access to our exclusive community to connect and grow with fellow land flippers. Seize the opportunity to transform your business. Visit software.landconquest.com to check out the Land Conquest business system and unlock the next stage of your land flipping success. Something that, you know, so it just didn't make sense. So anyhow, I I thought to myself, well, they got me. I was not very bright in this situation, so I felt like, hey, I'll just sell it to them and move on. But I get a good story to tell from it. So I think I made $500 or $1,000.
I'm still so mad. It's not even about that. It was that the audacity.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's the audacity. Have you looked it up to see what they're doing?
No, I should. They probably got it changed to residential zoning now and build a nice house there and made a bunch of money.
I know. And I like, that's probably the character I like the most about you, is that I'm all in. Like, don't tell me something bad about somebody because I'll never forget it. You know what I mean? Like, I might not actually even remember why. I don't, but like, I am like that. Like,
Heather holds a grudge.
Yeah, I have like this thing. And you, on the other hand, are like, well, let's just get, you know what I mean? You're clear-headed, calm and everything. And I try to like encompass that, but that one, I have adult money now.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem having adult money means that I can make adult bad decisions. And my adult bad decision would have been, I have no idea. What is the most obnoxious commercial use for that? I'm all in.
I don't know. Could have done a rock quarry or something like that. No. Big equipment.
Okay, equipment. Rock quarry, probably not, because I still have my ethics. You know, destroying whatever.
Destroying rocks?
I don't know. Okay. But yeah, I would have a commercial. Okay, yeah.
All right, so we're focused on areas that are easy to get these done, these minor subdivisions. So when I say easy, it's simply a matter of hiring a surveyor. And, you know, they take varying amounts of time. Sometimes we can get these done in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it might take a few months, depending on the surveyors available, depending on, you know, generally they just submit them to the county and they get stamped off and they're done. But like, sometimes the county person's a little slow. Yeah, we just look for that ease of getting it done. And then that takes care of most of any of the potential problems. So, okay, so next, we plan any additional, well, we, first of all, we do due diligence before we close on these deals. We're, you know, we're getting a title report. We're making calls to the county and the city, just finding out about the property itself, calling utilities. We're getting a broker opinion. We're doing our on-site inspection, generally with a photographer, or sometimes we can get the broker to go out to the property as well.
That doesn't mean us. We're not going out there.
No, we're not doing we're not generally seeing these properties in person at all.
But you just need someone to verify. Like, and we've had this happen a few times where we think we're buying this. We get them. They're like, there's a building on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, no, there's not. Yes, there is. Like, so, and title might not even caught that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
one of these recent ones, just a kind of example of that. Mm-hmm. It was on the map, the roads look great, get to the property, but the photographer notes came back and it was like, it was a treacherous drive even getting to this property with the roads.
How much do I need this money?
I'm like, giant boulders in the road. You need a 4x4 and all this stuff. And that really, it's not something I couldn't tell from the map, the satellite images. But
even if you can see the topography. Thank you. Yeah. Even if you can see that, sometimes it doesn't look like, it still looks like you've got good, clear access.
Yeah.
So 4x4, there's boulders.
Yeah,
in the
road. It was
a coyote attacked me.
Yeah, so all that tells me is it's going to be extremely hard to sell, because any of the potential buyers are going to be driving down that road. They're going to be like, we can't do this.
No, you know, right.
Like,
no.
There's very few people that would like that situation.
And they're not going to pay.
Right.
They're going to be like, this is really hard. It's my.
I need a big discount if I'm going to buy it. So,
yeah.
Next, we do plan any additional value add. Mm-hmm. This could be typically with these lot split properties, we're looking at things like clearing some brush to make a potential home site area on each lot. Mm-hmm. That really seems to help. You might be looking at, you know, running some utilities or something like that, even though that's something we generally don't do. But for some areas, that may be kind of the standard. You might be running some electricity and kind of stubbing it out to the site. You may be putting in a gravel driveway. You might be doing something like that. You might do a perk test for each lot. We do that frequently, depending on the area, though. And so these are types of things that we do to make the property as marketable as possible and sort of maximize our investment.
Right. And the perk test, I mean, it could be if we know that the people who would be buying those need loans, that might be part of what they would need.
Yeah, they might.
Or if we know that we have a really good, you know, person there that can get it all done, it's more cost effective. We could ask a little more for it, but we can make sure that, you know, someone doesn't have to pay as much money for it. The other thing too, you talked on cutting a pad or clearing brush, just for, we don't like clear cut.
Thank
you. We like to preserve trees. But having said that, like if it's like a bunch of properties and people, and there's like, we're expecting people to go out there, they need to be able to envision their house there. They need to envision themselves there. And like you said, like they need to have a path cut so they can get to this pad so they can say, oh, okay, this makes sense. I could put a house here and this is where the driveway would be. Because sometimes if it's just a big, you know, I don't know, forest, it's really hard to be like, oh, I'm going to build my dream home here. Like, it's hard to envision that. Some people, you can envision that stuff. I can't.
Right.
So like, I don't have that way. Literally in my brain, I can't envision that. So expecting, a certain percentage of the population can't. It's all to make it as easy as possible for people to be like, yes, this would work. This is what I want.
And if you're having any problems figuring out what should I do to a particular property, ask your broker, ask right. your agent that you're working with. And if it's someone that knows their stuff, they'll give you some ideas, yeah. And it might make sense when you crunch the numbers. It might not make sense to do it or whatever, but at least you should consider those types of things.
And that's what you ask before you buy it, too.
Yeah. So when we're doing these improvements, we're looking at two things. We're looking at the money side of things, like how much are we is in value creation are we going to get? Like if we spend $2,000 on brush clearing, is the property going to be worth $10,000 more? Obviously, something like that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. Or the speed of sale as well. So that's another important thing. If we get these properties cleaned up and kind of retail ready, then we know that they will sell generally faster.
Right. So. And you're surprised too, or I've been surprised a few times where I would think, oh, we have to do this. And there's no, everyone just sells them like, you don't want to do anything.
Yeah. Right.
And you're like, oh, really? Nothing? Okay. Glad I asked.
Yeah. Glad you asked, Heather. Okay. Step 8, close on the property and then resell as soon as possible. We're always trying to sell these properties as quick as we can, and it's important for us to get them on the market, get them presented properly, and hopefully find those buyers quickly.
I'm going to jump in because today, I guess, there's a huge stock market kind of like downturn. Have you even heard about it?
No, I've been deep in my work.
Yeah. So anyways, and it reminded me today about why we move stuff so quick, because we're selling for today. We're not selling for tomorrow. We're not selling for yesterday. So we're not looking at it saying, oh gosh, if we hold on, maybe we can get prices that we had 5 years ago or something, if we'd even want those. And we're not saying, okay, if we hold a little bit, we want to get that, squeeze out that last little bit of appreciation that's happening. No, we're doing today, and you just don't know what happens. So you want to buy smart, you want to smell smart.
Yeah, you got to smell smart.
Sell smart. But the most important thing you want to do is sell ASAP.
Yeah. Some other tips. Sometimes it might make sense to vary the sizes a little bit. Say you have a 100-acre parcel, you might want to do a 20-acre, you might want to do a 10-acre, you might want to do a 15-acre, just to give a little variety so you're not competing with yourself on that inventory instead of like 10-acre parcels then, you know.
Yeah, and some people don't want, like some people might be like 15 is perfect, 20, oh my God, that's so big.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay. Yeah. But also not competing. I never really like phrased it in my head that way, but that's absolutely the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then it's harder for them to say, oh, but this one's cheaper or this one's this.
Yeah.
Because even if you do that, say, yeah, but you know that 20 is a better deal than 15 or 15 is better. You know what I mean?
Right.
And also different area. I like that a lot. And then if you get odd shapes, you're not like, okay, and I'm going to have this 1/2-acre one.
Yeah. And then start building a database of areas and states where this process makes sense. You know, target new deals in these particular areas.
Mm-hmm.
Always be on the lookout for other areas. I mean, there's 4,000 plus counties in the United States here.
It's crazy.
So there's plenty of opportunities. And, you know, over time, you might want to build a database of like where this strategy works and where the numbers work, where it's an easy process and so on. A couple quick things here before we get on to our question round. If you're a real estate agent watching this and you see an opportunity on the market, we've actually got a specific program for that. You just go to lotsplitdeals.com, submit the property there that's on the market. And what happens is that we'll evaluate it. If it looks like a good deal, then you can represent us on the purchase. And we're cash buyers and we close quickly. So we're very easy buyers to work with. And I'm trying to build a great broker and agent relationships all over the country. And I know that you guys have the best access to these deals and you see opportunities that other people may not. And if you see something there,
quite literally,
I want to know about it.
Like, it's not even about seeing it. It's about you'll be scrolling and you'll be like, wait a minute, this would make a great.
This is perfect for that.
Yeah.
So send it my way and we'll do some business together. And then as long as you do a good job, we'll let you resell the property for us as well. So you get the listing on the resale side. Well, if you're terrible and you don't, but.
I'm just kidding. That was just funny.
I haven't run into any of those situations.
No, thankfully. But, knock on wood, right? Yes. Can you knock on wood too?
A knock on wood. Okay.
Thank you.
And let's see. Are you looking for funding for your land flipping deal? Then head on over to partnerwithpete.com. It's an innovative new funding program where we split the profits with you 50-50, but we take it one step further and we handle every other step of the process in the land flipping business. Yes, that means we handle all the due diligence. If the property needs any value add, like clearing brush, perk test, survey, we'll get that paid for up front. Then when the property resells, we split the profits 50-50. There is absolutely no downside for you as an investor. If we lose money, we don't pass that on to you. But when we make money, when we make profit, we split the proceeds 50-50. So as a recap, we handle every part of the process. We split the profits with you 50-50. There's no downside for you as the investor, only upside. So go to partnerwithpete.com, submit your deal there, and we'll get it checked out within 24 hours. Yeah, so that's about it on that. So I guess the next section here is our
segment. I call these segments.
Segment is our question round. And this is where we cherry pick four different questions from our Land Conquest community. And if you're not a member, you can simply go to landconquest.com. There's a button on there to join our community. And that is hosted on the school platform. That's skool.com. And we've got about 4,500 members in the community now.
Yeah. Wow. So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So lots of activity going on there. All land investors in this community or people that want to get into the land investing space. So we get lots of very interesting questions posed in there and lots of people contributing to the community. So it's a really cool place to hang out. And Heather and I answer questions in there as well. Do you answer questions in there?
No.
No. Okay. I do. but we also answer them on the podcast each week as well.
Right. So. If you're interested in land like investing, I mean, you don't have to jump in right away. It's a great place to kind of like dip your toes in and just kind of see. Because I always like to read between the lines when people ask questions and answers that are given. I don't know. I'm a total like lurker. That's how I've done most of the business stuff we've got into. I like lurk in groups and stuff and like kind of learn that kind of stuff. So I would highly recommend joining. You can really learn a lot. And then we also have all the actual, there's just tons of information there. So that would be your first step. Okay. Yeah. So you ready for first question?
Let's go.
So
fire away, Heather.
Do we say questions from the community?
Questions from the community. Yes. So these are questions that were actually posed in our community and we're going to answer them here today.
Pete's seen them. I haven't. So it's always fun. David says, blind offer question. I have a question about receiving a signed purchase agreement without speaking to the seller first. How do you handle a situation where you receive the signed PA, do your due diligence, and then determine the property is not worth what you thought based on the attributions that you discovered later? How do you approach the owner with a lower price offer? Thanks in advance for any advice. We talk about this a lot because it does happen, right?
Yeah. And in fact, we did an entire episode on this specific use case. And this was not the past episode, but the one right before that. And instead of me trying to just quickly gloss over this and a quick answer here, I would suggest you going back and watching that video, go over the exact script, how to handle that situation. Mm-hmm. It's a very common one.
Right.
So there's great ways to deal with this and actually turn those into deals that will happen at the right price that you need.
That's the big takeaway, is that so many times people think, oh, we just can't make it.
Yes.
It's just not going to work. And those actually have, I think, a really high percentage of working out, and they actually get closed.
Yeah. And you know, those people are motivated.
That's
you
it.
Know? And you could have put any number on there and they're going to accept it and they just want to get moved on from this property. So don't be embarrassed. There's ways to put these deals together.
Right. And this next one is from Colby and it's about mineral rights. And this also is a very common question.
Yes.
Are mineral rights a deal breaker? I have a potential on market subdivide, but the seller wants to retain mineral rights on this 152 acre tract. Is this a no-go? And what has been your experience? Thanks. Okay, so I'm getting red flags, actually.
Hmm.
But you go ahead.
Well, it depends on the area.
Mm-hmm.
Some areas, most every single property does not have mineral rights that go with the land sale. Now, some areas, it would be abnormal to buy a property without mineral rights. So you really need to talk to a local broker to find out like what the standard is for that particular area. If it's standard, none of the properties have it, then I wouldn't worry about it at all. But if it's a little bit odd or really reduces the resale value of the property, then you got to take that into consideration. Now, if it's an area where there's lots of oil drilling or mining or other things like that, you got to be really cautious because the people who own the mineral rights have the actual right to either drill on the property or mine it or something like that. So you could buy this property and then it gets taken up by mine or something like that. Like that would be terrible. So you just kind of know, you just got to look into it further.
Right. If you're planning on doing houses, that would be, you know, if you're going to, I don't know, have a cattle farm, I don't know, maybe that would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess the thing that kind of like raised my thing is that for most of the stuff that we encounter, it's not the people we're buying from already don't have the mineral rights. Mm-hmm. How often do we get one where they're saying we want to separate the mineral rights like today? Like this is an old time thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like if someone wanted said, hey, I want to retain, I own the mineral rights and I own the land. I want to retain the mineral rights. That would be kind of a red flag generally.
Yeah.
Because they had some plans about it and or something like that.
There's something else going on.
Or maybe someone told them, oh, you need to retain the mineral rights. But I mean, so you look into it deeper, but I would be cautious. Yeah.
Yeah. But if it's already been sold like in 18, whatever it was, then I bet you anything that that's a very comp. They're like, we just don't have them.
But yeah, and like because generally how that happens is they were like these huge tracts. They sold off the mineral rights for that huge tract. Then it got subdivided into these communities and stuff, and the whole area doesn't have any mineral rights with it.
Right. So. And so it's highly unlikely they would be like, we're going to commandeer this house, your yard, your backyard where your kids play swing set is now going to be an oil rig.
Yeah.
Or we're going to drill in. That would be highly unlikely.
Yeah.
I guess it could happen. So, but the fact that they're saying this now, that's what kind of like shocked me. Okay. Question from Sam. He says, real estate is local, but there can be overarching trends. Okay. That's true. Sorry, or maybe not. I'll let you answer that. What is the general consensus on the speed of sales? Are you taking longer to move this year? Quarter? It sure seems that way for us. We're buying in Tennessee, North Carolina, South Carolina, and all of it seems to be taking longer with fewer bites. Of course, there's a million factors here to take into account, but without inching too far down into the particulars, I'm curious on the overall subjective settlement. Thank you. That was a lot of big words.
Great question. Mm-hmm. And I do think that there is a little bit of a slowdown happening this year. I think days on market is probably a little bit on average. You know, we do properties, we buy and sell properties all over the country. Mm-hmm. And I would say that on average, that was probably taking a little bit longer. There's still very active markets in all the areas that we deal with. Things are still buying and selling. But I would say as a whole that we're probably slowed down a little bit, as you know, especially from last year and the year before was really kind of hot. I'm thinking now is pretty much maybe sort of a normal, more balanced market. Before there was a situation where there was an imbalance and it was really a seller's market. And I think it's more shifted to a more of a balanced market in many of these markets that we're dealing with. So an even balance between buyers and sellers.
Did that make you change anything?
I like to get these properties for a more aggressive price. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm noticing that things are taking longer to sell, because then I can market it for an aggressive price and force that quicker sale.
And it's an election year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what I'm hearing as well. You know, a lot of brokers and agents I'm talking to are like, hey, you know, we anticipate after the election is done, people will have some certainty about, you know, direction of everything. And then, you know, the floodgates open again. So we'll see. But that's what I'm hearing out there.
And I think the overarching, like they said, overarching, it's kind of like when grocery prices all over the country have gone up, right? Mm-hmm. But then you're going to have certain grocery stores or certain areas that it's not as expensive because maybe they have access to fresh produce that doesn't have to go as far. So yeah, of course, there's always like that. It's the same kind of thing. The economy is as a whole, but then in different areas, it might be driving different forces. So, okay. Anyways, Will says, states to avoid. Does he want like my political view? No, I'm just kidding. Hey, just beginning my investing career in land flipping. Just curious to know if there are any states to avoid and why you would avoid them. I appreciate any help and advice. I don't think he's looking for my comments on that.
No, probably not. No. I'm assuming it's related to land investing.
Okay, sorry.
We don't have political discussions or religious discussions or anything like that on the show, Heather.
What do I have left then?
I don't know. Land investing. There are certain states that I stay away from. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't. If a deal's there, I would probably pretty much do it in any state. I don't know about Alaska. I don't know. Maybe it was a tremendous deal. I would do a deal in Alaska, but probably not Alaska. I don't like New Mexico. I'm sorry if you're from New Mexico. Just a personal thing.
We drove through it and he was the whole time. We actually spent the night and he was like.
Yeah, it just feels very weird to me.
Where did we stay in New Mexico?
Albuquerque.
I'm just saying that there were nice people there.
Yeah, there were nice people. Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's just, it's a personal thing. Don't worry. You know, I'm not saying to avoid New Mexico. It was probably a great deal.
So was it political or religious?
No.
No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't. No, is that funny?
It's the alien Area 51.
I think you get uncomfortable. I think you actually, not from that.
It has a weird feeling to it. I don't know.
Because it's desert and it's desolate and that's what you don't like. But anyways, I can identify it for you.
Okay.
But I thought the people were very nice.
They were.
Our car did not get broken into in the hotel, even though they told us it might.
Okay. Anyhow, so as far as other areas, you know, I just look for an active markets. I look for, there aren't a lot of things that would make me say, oh, I'm never going to do business there. It's a deal by deal basis. And there are certain areas that have more transaction costs and more of that type of stuff. So if you are going to do it in a state where there are higher transaction costs. You just have to factor those into your numbers.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think if there's anything. I know like it's harder to look or harder to have information to evaluate deals in certain states.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the non-disclosure states, meaning they don't report the sale prices. So it's a little harder to figure out what the properties are worth.
Was it like Texas? Is that Texas?
Texas, yeah, there's South about Carolina. 10 of them actually. Yeah.
So that would be something, but none of them are deal breakers. I think that's the big takeaway. There's not anything where it's like...
Yeah.
That is the last of my questions, but before we go, where can everyone find you online?
Yeah, the best place is to go to landconquest.com. You'll find a link to our community. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to find me. Also, on Instagram, you can find me at Partner with Pete. I'm also on TikTok at Partner with Pete.
You doing dances?
Huh? Yes, I do lots of TikTok dances. And so those are the best places to find me, I guess you could say. Okay. So community is the best spot, though.
Yeah, you're there a lot.
Yeah. Well, and YouTube. If you're listening to this podcast, check it out on YouTube. We've got other videos on there as well. Whole huge library of this type of content. So we've been doing this podcast now for about a year and a half. So we cover many, many different subjects related to land investing. So our goal.
Yeah. Like, what if they have suggestions? I don't know if we've really asked that you have.
Oh, I don't have a suggestion box.
It'd be fun to fill it in with like.
Yes. Post in the community and suggest, you know, maybe episode ideas. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, cool. Well, thank you guys for joining us again. And we will see you here next week.
We'll see you then.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Ready to start turning profit yourself? Head to turningprofit.com to step up your real estate investing game. See you on the next episode.